In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Want to remind you that in the Catholic Church, we celebrate now Christmas for an octave. So for 8 days, it is Christmas. So Christmas isn't just today. We celebrate each of the eight days as if it were Christmas all over again. So how cool is that to be Catholic, right? You may be wondering why the readings might have been different in your bulletin or in your paper there that you have. It's because the readings that we just heard are from the midnight mass rather than the mass at dawn or in the morning, because I didn't want to have to write two different homilies. So today Christians everywhere are celebrating one of the most holy days of the year, the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Our Christmas message is full of symbolism. We hear in the gospel when the angels announce a message to the shepherds, they say, "A sign, behold, you will see a sign, baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And so there are signs that point to something, and I want to go through some of the symbolism, some of the signs that we hear in the reading. First, we are told that Joseph and Mary had traveled to Bethlehem because of a census and that Jesus was born there. It is interesting to note that the name Bethlehem in Hebrew literally means the house of bread. Jesus, who is the bread of life, whose body and blood, soul and divinity we receive when we eat the bread of Holy Communion, was born in the house of bread. Coincidence, or is it rather a godsidence? Second, we hear in the gospel that Jesus was lying in a manger in swaddling clothes. When I was a child and when I was a kid, I used to believe that the manger was the whole thing. The barn made of wood and all the furnishings that went with it that my dad would set up each year. Usually it took up a small table all by itself. And it became simply known as the manger or the manger scene. In actuality, the manger is only a small part of the whole. The manger refers simply to a food box from which the animals ate. If you ever seen a picture or seen a farm where they have like some really simple wooden box that was stuffed full of hay, and the horses or the cows, the animals could eat the hay out of that box. That's what the manger is. How symbolic is that? Is it a coincidence that Jesus should be born in the city known as the House of Bread and then be placed in a food box as his crib? Jesus offers himself to us as real food for the life of the world. We are called to receive him and to partake in his own divine life. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. In the Middle East, people traveling long distances were often met with many hardships and trials on their journey. It's hard for us, I think, to imagine the difficulty in making a long trip, because when we talk about a long trip, we talk about a couple of hours, and we can do that in our cars very quickly. In the event that there was a hardship on the way, even a death during the travel, the body could not continue to be transported for many days. For that reason, travelers often wrapped a thin gauze-like cloth around their waist many times. If someone in their group died on the journey, the others would use this cloth, referred to as swaddling clothes, to wrap the corpse before burying them. When Jesus was born, there was no room in the inn, and so Mary and Joseph used a nearby stable for Jesus' birth. With no other cloth to use, Jesus was wrapped in Joseph's swaddling clothes. This cloth normally reserved for a person's death. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came into this world in a lowly manger and was wrapped with burial clothes. In truth, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen once put it, Jesus is the only human being that was born to die. When you think about it, all of us are born to live, to know God, and to come into divine life, and so we are born for eternal life. Jesus already had eternal life. He was with God. He was one with God, and he chose to become a man for the sole purpose to die for our sins. When we celebrate Christ's birth this Christmas, we do well to keep in mind that even in birth, Jesus was preparing for his death, his ultimate reason for coming. When the angels speak to the shepherds, they say, "Do not be afraid." It seems that whenever man comes into contact with the divine, there may be reason for fear. We are all sinners. We've fallen short in our obligations to love God and our neighbor. Understandably, therefore, to come face to face with the divine can be a fearful encounter. But the angels say to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." They go on to explain that there is a sign that is for them, a baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. A sign, yes. What a sign indeed. How has God chosen to reveal himself to man in the past? Well, God spoke to Moses from a burning bush, something very fearful. Moses spoke with God on Mount Sinai, where God spoke from thunder and lightning and gave the Ten Commandments, something very fierce. These could be very fearful and scary events, but a baby? There's nothing scary at all about a baby. God wants us to know, he wants us to love him and accept him like we would a tiny baby. We see further God's own humility in allowing Jesus to be born as a baby and in so meager an estate. God wants us to be filled with peace and joy this Christmas, and in fact, he wants us to be filled with peace and joy always. The message of Christmas is that God came to save us from the darkness, to save us from our sin. In doing so, he shows us how much we are loved, how much we are really worth. When you ask someone how much something is worth, one answer you may get is, it depends on how much someone is willing to pay for it. We know that God so loved the world, that is each one of us, that he gave his only son. This truth is an eternal truth and not meant exclusively for Christmas. I am reminded of my favorite Christmas carol, O Holy Night. I love the verse that says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices." Today we truly celebrate a joyful day that should thrill us and bring us peace. Christmas celebrates our God finding us and rescuing us. We see that we do matter to God, and our soul has immeasurable worth because God chose to ransom us by giving us his Son. Can you imagine not having a concept of heaven or of eternal life? That is what it was like before Jesus came to save us. Everyone out for themselves, searching for happiness, searching in vain for some kind of meaning in life, until Jesus came and showed us the way to eternal life. Perhaps you remember a story by Mark Twain called Tom Sawyer. Tom and his friend Becky, in search of adventure, are out to explore an old cave. The cave is dark and full of twisting passages and many dangers. As they explore the cave, they end up getting lost. As their candle begins to fail, fear and real panic sets in. They find themselves completely surrounded by darkness. The entire day goes by, and they begin to lose track of time. In desperation, they wander, groping through the cave, looking for any sign of light, even if it be the smallest glimmer that could give them some kind of indication of where they should go. They no longer know whether it is day or night outside, and they realize they could be near an exit and not even know it if it's dark. Finally, they spot a tiny pinprick of light far off in the distance, and they follow it to their freedom. In many ways, this story can be seen as a kind of Christmas story. The human race is lost in darkness of sin. Humanity looking for something to provide some comfort or guidance. And so we light the candles of money, pleasure, power, philosophy, comfort. But they all eventually waver and burn out, leaving us again in darkness. But Jesus Christ, the eternal God who came among us, is an everlasting light that can lead the way for us to true freedom and happiness, true joy and true peace. He offers this light to us still today. Will you follow it? In our world, there is still a lot of darkness. There are wars and there are sickness. There is poverty and many forms of brokenness. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and always. He offers meaning, healing, and forgiveness. Jesus can bring us hope that whatever this world has for us, there is something greater waiting for us in the world to come. Jesus brings us a message of peace and of joy, of goodwill to all men. But finally, it is up to us. Perhaps you yourself who have come here this morning, perhaps you feel lost or find yourself in darkness. Jesus is the shining light to bring you comfort and peace. Perhaps he may seem only to you as a tiny pinprick of light, but the more you choose to follow him, the closer you come, the brighter that light will be, the more you will be filled with the joy that is Christmas. Come to the Lord, kneel before him in his manger throne. See how our God offers himself to us as a baby. Can we not hear him calling for us to accept him, to love him, and to receive him into our hearts? One of my favorite Christmas stories is the story of little Daniel, a handicapped boy with polio. While he was in the third grade, he wanted badly to participate in his school's Christmas pageant. But because he was in a wheelchair, the only part the teacher could think of to give him was the part of the innkeeper. Daniel was to sit in the window of the inn, and when Mary and Joseph came along looking for a room, he was to say, "Sorry, there's no room in here." Daniel was upset about this. He didn't want to be the one who said no to baby Jesus. So on the night of the school's great Christmas pageant, Daniel sat in his wheelchair by the window waiting for his part. When Joseph and Mary asked for a room, there was silence from Daniel, who was obviously thinking of something. His teacher whispered from behind the curtain, "No room, no room." Finally, Daniel spoke up, and in a loud, welcoming voice, he shouted out, "Sure, come on in. I've been expecting you." Our God is again looking for a home. He knocks at the door of our hearts. Will you tell him there is no more room inside? Rather, open wide the doors of your heart like little Daniel did, and it will be the best decision that you've ever made. Christmas celebrates the beginning of our new relationship with God. It's truly a celebration, not just for today, but always. May God bless you and your families, and may you all have a Merry Christmas.